Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Professor Richard Epstein, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, writing for the Civitas Institute. Richard's new address at the University of Texas at Austin for his thoughtful pieces on especially the Supreme Court. This is the Kelo case of some 20 years past. It turns on a part of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for example, the Fifth Amendment, the Takings Clause. It's capitalized by those in the know. It reads thus, "Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation." This goes to something that happened in a private residence in Connecticut 20 years ago. And I'm going to let Richard explain it because it involves a very prominent manufacturer, pharmaceutical, Pfizer, the town's intentions, and what happened afterwards. Richard, a very good evening to you. The town had, or the region had, a case to say that we need this property in order to do something for the public good, which was to help Pfizer. What happened after that first intention? Good evening to you.
Okay, great. Look, now this is such a complicated case. And just at the outset, I think of all the cases that were decided in this century, this one has generated the most agonized response by the public at large and a huge spate of legislation and judicial decision. This is a case of over-grandeur. What happened is New London was a struggling town. It had lost all of its work with the Coast Guard and everything else. And the city fathers contrived to give a plot of land to Pfizer with huge tax subsidies on which it would develop a plant. Once you have a plant, they hoped that they could leverage that by taking a huge plot of land nearby on which sat the homes of Miss Kelo and several of her friends. And what they would do with that is to turn it into some kind of an industrial park with residences and so forth. And it was kind of a ghastly sight. They received $73 million or so in subsidies from the state of New London. And what they did is they built an infrastructure, you know, walkways and lights and all the rest of this stuff. And then they hired a firm called Corcoran and Jenneron to figure out how it was they're going to fill in the spaces. In order to do that, they had to take the land. And the question is this a taking for public use, given the fact that what was going to happen was private economic development? And one obvious response to this is you can't have something that's going to be for the public if you're giving it exclusively to private parties. The Supreme Court was not impressed by that logic. And so when it came down with the Kelo place, it had this plan. Some of it was to be developed in the future, some now. And they said, so long as it's a conceivable argument, the word was conceivable, that this thing could be of some benefit to the public, we will treat it as a public use. And this definition goes far beyond all the established cases on this area. The obvious case of a taking for public use is something for the use of the public. And that would include, for example, building roads and highways and so forth. And it also includes building Capitol buildings, the Pentagon, even if the public doesn't have access to it. And it also turned out to include building gristmills, that is private operations, that were open to the public. And the first dent in this took place in 1885, a case called Hedvia Miska. And what the court said there, in a very thoughtful opinion, is we don't have to have this as a gristmill. If it's a manufacturing plant that's going to produce huge benefits, we're going to let that count as a public use, even though it's for a private party. Now, the key feature in that case was the only way you can build these gristmills or these manufacturing mills is to flood empty lands owned by other people. And so that's exactly what they did. And the Supreme Court said they're paying a premium for the people who they're wiping out. And this is an important development. And otherwise, everybody will hold out. and nobody will be able to do anything. So the idea of holding out, that is having a small stake in a large pie and then demanding equal share, was what they were worried about. And the two most famous cases thereafter were involved in an irrigation ditch which ran across somebody else's land, which was essential for mining, and an overhead tramway from the top of a mountain down to a railroad depot, which did the same thing. And in the Lochner era, 1905, 1906, the Supreme Court said, these kinds of uses are just fine. The question then is there any holdout problem in Kelo? And the answer was no. Ms. Kelo had no desire to hold them up, and they had no particular use for the land at that particular time. What the Supreme Court said is, too bad, you could wipe out private residents on the strength of a future gain. And the public reaction was just furious, because everybody understands why you're going to take vacant land and water and turn them to a public use. They couldn't believe it for a public land because there was nothing here going on. They haven't even decided what they were going to use Mrs. Kelo's land for. And so there are some people who said, if you have a core function in the middle, you could take it for that and build it right away. But please wait until you know what you're going to do with Mrs. Kelo's land. And the Supreme Court said, whether it's present, whether it's future, it doesn't matter, so long as it's conceivable. And that's what provoked everybody. And people wanted to condemn Justice Stevens' house. And before he died, when he wrote his autobiography, his reflections on the court, he recanted. And when he says, I just didn't understand what the kind of public reaction was. And that's because people still believe your home is your castle. Now, they understand, you know, Robert Moses did this. If you take public private property to build a road, although they tend to deeply resent it because usually the compensation is going to be inadequate and all of your collateral expenses are not going to be covered. So the public reaction to this has become very chary, even for building public roads and other kinds of facilities. The dislocations are enormously great, and so you really want to have not a conceivable public use. What most people want today is some kind of clear necessity that we just have to do this or everything's going to collapse around us. So it's much harder to build anything through condemnation today. And what happens is people adopt. Developers, instead of building grand plans that fail, build small plans that work. And what happened with Pfizer is they were there 10 years, and before they could get their own plan developed in the city, somebody built a motel a little bit away in another town and a fancy resort a little bit further. And so the developer had no possibility of making money, so they threw in the towel. That's what happened. And then Pfizer merged with another company, and they decided to close down that location and move somewhere else. So everything turned out to be high.
What does the land look like today, Richard?
It is basically a rubbish heap. Ms. Kelo's house was taken away. The Institute for Justice, which brought this case, essentially represented her to the bitter end and hoped with the relocation and made sure that she didn't have to pay taxes on everything else. And I actually met Ms. Kelo, a very nice woman, last week when there was a conference about this case at the Yale Law School.
Let's come up to date, Richard, because we have a case before the Supreme Court that is surprisingly as if there's a playmaster here reviewing Kelo. Bowers Development LLC versus Oneida County Industrial Development Agency. Two organizations want to build medical clinics, one next to the other, and yet, how is this the takings clause?
Well, what happens is one of the clinics goes to the legislature and says, we need a parking lot. Why don't you condemn the land on which the other fellow wants to build his center? And they said, this is for a public use. And the argument is a complete joke. They said, well, it will increase employment. But if you built the other clinical center, it would increase employment as well. It would add jobs and vitality to the community. Everything they said is true of every development, including the one that they wanted to condemn out. So the IJ has now got, the Institute for Justice, has a petition before the Supreme Court, hoping that they'll grant it in order to reverse it. The court did the right thing, at least for the moment, saying we want to see the full record. And there's enough sentiment on that court that Kelo was somehow or other wrong that they might well take it. And there's a very modest remedy that you could put into place in a more thorough one. The modest remedy is to say you cannot justify as a public use that there's some vague community benefits, which is true of every project that's ever built, including the one that you want to condemn. And the other thing is to just trash Kelo and go back to the rule it has to be for a building or getting rid of a holdout. That's serious. And in two-party situations, it's just ordinary negotiation. It's not like the mining dealing with the irrigation dish or the overhead tram. And I hope very much that they take it. This has been an open wound in the heart of the United States, and the Supreme Court should recant what it does. Takings means for public use. It doesn't mean for any conceivable excuse that you would like to put forward to say that there was a public use, even if there wasn't. And so this is bad constitutional construction leading to bad social outcome. It's a real disgrace, and it should be changed.
One puzzle for me. Pfizer is not a public organization. It's privately held, traded on the New York Stock Exchange, very expensive property. How is that for public use then?
Well, they didn't have to condemn the land for Kaiser. They were able to give it without any kind of government coercion. So there was a land already available to them. There were no residents on it, and they just sent it through. Pfizer was smart. I mean, generally speaking, when you want to put up an industrial development, you don't want to put it up on public land. It creates all sorts of difficulties.
Right.
So there was no public use issue there. It's just a case of giving a large subsidy for a bad deal. And industrial policy does that too often in cities. And the Institute for Justice has always been in the lead on this question. So please don't give huge subsidies to get private developments in your community, because the rest of your state is going to be beggared to have to pay for it. And what happens is every state kind of ignores them, and they give these subsidies, and a lot of these plants fail. It's less than happening now, because the bitter lesson of these over grandiose plans, too much confiscation, too much subsidization, has now fallen on people. This project would have never happened if the state of Connecticut had not decided to spend $73 million in New London. And then the grant was about to expire, so they put it in the ground, built all of these roadways and everything else, and they never got the process. So it's kind of like a ghost town. There were many planning fiascos like this that happened earlier on. In one sense, Quito is an object lesson, and I think there are many few cases like that today than there were in previous times.
I'm speaking to Professor Richard Epstein, writing for the Civitas Institute at the University of Texas, on the Supreme Court's getting a second bite at the apple. We're going to turn to a discrimination that is obvious to those of us who've won our seniority, which is age discrimination.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.